copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
What I'd like to try to do is just give a little bit of our background and then try to analyze a few reasons why we've seen growth in France, and then throw it back to you as, you know, how do you see that? How do you react to that? How does it work in your country? Because I am convinced that a workshop means that you work. That I was a teacher for a few years before becoming a pastor. A teacher, his role is not to do anything but to make the other people work, and that's what a workshop should be. So hopefully there'll be quite a lot of exchange, and I'll try not to talk for too long. It was suggested just before I go into facts and figures, and I know one person at least has to leave early, so I don't know how far we'll get, but that I would talk a little bit about a few of the obstacles within our culture, where we are in France. I've got it all on one slide. I could have put it in several goes, but there's a kind of like a double obstacle, or there has been historically, to the gospel in France. On the one hand, there is the Roman Catholic Church, with all the background of that, and on the other hand, philosophy. And very often when you're talking in terms of evangelism, a person says, well, I'm not really a believer, so you start talking about philosophy and try to, and then they suddenly say, ah, but I'm a Catholic. Or they say they're a Catholic, and if you try to present them with biblical truth, they say, ah, well, in any case, we can't believe that because of philosophy. It's like a double insulation of electricity. That said, I'm not going to go into lots of this because it's probably not the reason you came, but it is interesting to know a few of the things. Two points for Catholicism. I'm not even talking about doctrine, because in my opinion, I agree very much with what was said last night, but the majority of the population don't know what Catholic doctrine is, even those who go to a Catholic church. And I think I would even go as far as to say that they don't know that they should know. we're not at all into doctrinal differences. It's just that Catholicism is like the normal religion. And the way I put it sometimes, a bit mockingly, but I have Catholic friends, so that's not a problem, that if a new sect, a new cult came, in which the leader had to wear a nightgown, everyone would say, what's this? But they go to a Catholic mass, and seeing a guy wearing a nightgown, and so they say, yeah, it's normal, we've always known that. So it's normal that every village should have its church tower and church, and it's normal that in France, it is the normal religion. And that has always been a problem for evangelism in France. We're not normal, if you like, in the eyes of people. A second thing, which is not often brought up, but one of the big differences between the evangelical faith and the Catholic faith was not one that was brought up last night, but it's on anthropology, because Catholicism is semi-Pelagian, that is from, I don't know what his name is in English, Pelagius? Pelagius, okay. I should have said that I got an English name and I speak with an English accent, but I spent all my adult life in France, so sometimes I'm looking for the words in English. Who claimed, Pelagius, that man was not really totally sinful. Original sin didn't exist. We had the freedom of choice. And Catholic theology doesn't say that, but is influenced by it. Obviously, because you have to cooperate, which is what Leonardo said last night, for salvation. So you have your role to play. And this means that it's very difficult for a French person to accept the idea that he would be a sinner. Because what most people say is, deep down, people are good. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, you know, the philosopher, said, you know, man is good, society corrupts him. And that is a thought which is very, very strong in French culture. So you don't need a savior if you don't think you need salvation, if you don't realize that you're a sinner. That's the Catholicism. On the philosophy side, obviously, it's the idea of salvation coming through man, not salvation in the total Christian sense, but you can work together to improve society and so on. And for historical reasons, all through the 19th century, there was a lot of opposition between the believers and unbelievers, or Catholics and the left wing and humanists and so on, which led in the end to the separation of church and state in 1905. But a lot of people who would claim to be atheists in France, it's very difficult to get correct figures, would actually be much more anti-clerical, in fact, that is against the church rather than against God. They don't know that. You have to present it to them. And I had a wonderful opportunity a few months ago when I was invited to explain the evangelical church to a quite a big anti-clerical movement in France, and they published my talk in extenso in their magazine, including John 3:16 and all the rest, which was absolutely amazing. But because they were against the church, and they were very interested in what I had to say. And the third thing is laïcité, a word a lot of people know. The great advantage of the brilliant French language is that we can make a distinction between secularism and laïcité. And for me, secularism is a sociological term, a descriptive term of what is happening in society as you observe society. Laïcité is a philosophical and political decision as to the relationship between church and state. And it's not the same thing. And I think it's important to make that distinction. So we have laïcité, and I would say that the vast majority of French evangelicals would be totally in agreement with laïcité, which is the neutrality of the state, freedom of conscience, freedom of religion, non-discrimination of people between different religions. And a very famous French evangelist who wrote in 1905, when this law was passed, that it was the best day in the history of France. The only problem is that laïcité can be interpreted by local officials and mayors and so on in a way which is not always in agreement with the law. Anyway, that's just a little bit of the background to help you to understand where we are now. So, a few facts and figures. The first one is that a new evangelical church has been planted in France on average every 10 days since 1970. Which means in 1970 there were 840 evangelical churches in France, all the denominations included, and today there are 2,440. You can see the same growth, but I'm going to go a little further back of the number of evangelical Christians, excluding those in the historic Protestant churches, Reformed and Lutheran churches, for which it's much more difficult to get the figures, and which in general tend to be fairly liberal, although there are obviously some Bible-believing pastors and churches within the historic denominations. These figures are only churches which call themselves evangelical churches across the board. In 1800, 2,000 evangelical Christians. You have to remember that it wasn't until 1787, just 2 years before the French Revolution, so 13 years before this figure, that it became legal to be a Protestant in France. For over 100 years, from 1685, Louis XIV's revocation of the Edict of Nantes, through to 1787, Christians, the Huguenots as they're often called at that time, were persecuted. They fled to other countries. I was in Berlin and was amazed to find a lot of streets in Berlin with French names, because it was the French Huguenots who went there, to the UK, to Holland, and so on. Or they were put in prison, or put on the boats to row the warships of Louis XIV and so on. Only 2,000. But if you then look through, 1850, 20,000, 1900, 25,000, and it had reached 50,000 just after the Second World War. And then the figures begin to explode. 1960, 100,000, 75, 200,000, 1990, 300,000, 2005, 390,000, 2010, 460,000. And the figure given by the most authoritative voice in France, Sébastien Fatt, who's a researcher at the Sorbonne, specialized in the evangelical churches, he reckons 600,000. It's a question mark because of one little phenomenon we have now, that we realize that for different reasons a whole lot of people call themselves evangelical now in France who don't actually go to church. For all sorts of reasons, certain among young people or others, they haven't rejected the faith, but they are not always attached to a church. It's a fairly recent phenomenon. So the 600,000 includes that. Though what I would say through to at least 2005, that was a negligible figure. So now, I don't know if that means 1,000%. If there's a mathematician here, Nigel, you're a mathematician. Going from 50,000 to 600,000, is that 1,000% increase? Is Greg Pritchard right?
Yes.
Yes, good. I have a literary background. Okay, what are the motors of this growth? I don't know if that's the word to use, but I will use it. The motors of this growth, I think there are at least four. Firstly, between 1935 and 1960, it was the church planting done by the Assemblies of God. They were the most successful denomination in planting churches at that fairly difficult time, and I would say they were the main motors through to about 1960. From 1960 to about 2000, it was much more the presence of foreign missionaries. In particular, the story is always recounted how Team Mission, for different reasons, didn't have access to some of the countries they were used to working in Eastern Europe or Africa, came to Europe. They started working just doing evangelism and saw their converts with no place to go to grow in the faith. So started church planting at around about 1960. The denomination I work with, which is a French one, France Mission, was founded in 1957. They were French at first, but now we've also got quite a few foreign missionaries working with us. So the motor, I would say, between 1960 and 2000 were the foreign missionaries. These dates overlap a bit. From about 1970 to 1990, there was the influence of the charismatic movement as well in church planting, a very important contribution during that time. And from 1990, maybe through to today, the figures, I asked someone to supply these figures to me, who's done a lot of research, and between 1990 and 2010, a lot of churches, mainly composed of immigrants, a lot of immigration from the Caribbean, from Africa. I was a pastor for a few years in the suburbs of Paris, and three quarters of my congregation weren't white French, apart from the fact there are also a lot of totally black churches. For the last few years, I've been in central Paris, where the figures are totally reversed, where I have just a handful of people from immigration and more the French population. But it's a reflection of where people are living, so it's just that's the way it is. So those are some of the motors of this growth. And I didn't mention these in these figures, but these figures also include the what we call the French département, which are overseas. They are part of France. If you look on your Euro banknotes, you'll see they're on there, along with a map of Europe. Whether it's the Caribbean, the Indian Ocean, or South America. If you want to ask a question at a party, ask people which country has the longest common frontier with France. Which country is it? the country with the longest common frontier with France is Brazil. Along French Guiana. Because it's part of France. It's not a colony, it's part of France. And we've seen a lot of growth of evangelical churches as well in the Caribbean in particular, in Guadeloupe, Martinique, and so on. And then the final stage since 1995 is significant growth of French church planters. You can now study church planting as part of an MA course, for example, in the theological seminaries and so on. And there's a significant growth of trained French church planters. Those are the basic facts. The question is, what are the reasons for this growth? I've got four reasons. Before I did this, I asked lots of Christian leaders in France what they thought and tried to put a synthesis together. And of course, the number one reason always has to be, and I'm not just saying it to be doctrinally correct, but God is sovereign. I mean, that's all you can say. But God also uses factors and circumstances in which sometimes you can see church growth, and there are human factors as well. And I'd like to suggest four human factors. The first, within the religious and political situation in France, was the decline of the Catholic Church, which has left a great vacuum. If you look at the figures, as recently as 1980, 71% of the babies born in France were baptized in the Catholic Church. It was down to 52% in the year 2000, and last year was 32%. That's half the number just in the space of 35 years, about. So that means that people are much less attached to the Catholic Church. In 1980, going back as putting that as a marker, there were 38,000 priests, whereas today in France we're at 13,000, and the average age is 72. So I think that the decline will continue. We do have priests in France from Poland. We've got foreign missionary priests for the Catholic Church from Africa as well. More and more you'll find a very strange situation of a little rural church in the center of France with an African priest. It'd be interesting to see how he gets on with the farmers, but it's an interesting phenomenon. And the Catholic Church now has given up more or less the parish system because there just aren't enough priests. So if you go to rural areas in particular, you will find maybe about 25 towns or villages in what they call a pastoral sector. It's no longer a parish with one priest, and they try to get a few lay people involved and so on. So in any particular village, they may have one mass every 3 months or every 6 months, no more. The advantage of the Catholic Church is that for historical reasons, the state owns the buildings and has to look after the upkeep of the buildings in France, because the Catholic Church refused to accept the law of 1905, and so the state took them over. But it's a funny situation. And this decline of the Catholic Church has obviously left a vacuum, which means that the evangelical church or churches in relation size wise are not so very different. So if I gave you the figure of 600,000 evangelicals, the equivalent figure for Catholics, and this was a study done very officially by a secular survey company for the Catholic Church and the official Protestant Church, including evangelicals. They asked how many people attend your church at least once a month. It wasn't even every week, it was once a month. So the figures for evangelicals were about 500,000, and the figures for Catholic weren't even 3 million. So a differential of 1 to 6, which even when I started mission in France would have thought would have been incredible, that this very rapid decline. The only place where the Catholic Church is holding on strongly are in the big cities. They staff well their big churches in the big cities, and there they're holding on to people, which is the opposite of the historical tendency where people tended to be traditionally Catholic in the countryside and lose their faith when they came to Paris. The jibe always was that a person from Brittany got on the train as a Catholic in Brittany and got off in Paris as an unbeliever. And there's a lot of truth in that. So that's the first thing. The second, there has been for a long time a general feeling of social despair, mistrust of political leaders, unemployment very high in France, 10%. After I wrote this, we've had an election, and I don't know what this is going to give. We've got a young, dynamic, very pro-European, very optimistic, incredibly intelligent man as president. What's going to happen? I don't know. Will this make people less socially despairing? If so, that's a good thing. What implications as far as evangelism? As a question mark. I just say that I prepared this about a month ago and things have changed a little bit in that time. A possibly third factor, and I put this with a question mark. It's possible, I think, that in the Latin countries there is less political correctness than in the more northern countries. I remember talking a few months ago to a guy from Finland, and he said, well, how do you explain the gospel to people in France? I said, we can never say that in Finland. It would just be politically incorrect. And I think that the whole idea of debate, very strong debate, is still part of our socially admitted, accepted way of doing things. If you invite people for a meal, you could debate. It's not a problem. And during the last political campaign, the debate between Macron and Le Pen was extremely, how can I say, vigorous. And some people didn't like it, but that's part of the way things are. So I think, I wonder if that has helped us to be less politically correct and to be able to say, this is what we believe. But that's a question mark. So that's the first series of possible reasons, the religious and political situation in France. A second series is the growing acceptance of evangelicals. The accusation of being a sect has largely been overcome. But fairly recently, only probably about 15 years ago, you could still get quite vicious newspaper and magazine articles and so on about this sect called the Evangelicals. And one newspaper in particular, called Le Nouvel Observateur, went really over the top, to the point that even the liberal Protestants and even the Catholics rose up in arms and sent lots of letters and saying, you know, you're being totally unfair. This is not a sect. You have to make a distinction. And I felt that was a bit of a turning point. And from that point on, there's been much more of an acceptance that we are a church which is more normal, to come back to the expression I use for the Catholic Church. We are part of the landscape. If people now talk in terms of the Evangelical Church, a lot of people know who we are. I organized a survey for the CNEF, which is the French Council of National Council of Evangelicals, and we discovered that 74% of the population had heard of evangelical churches, half of whom declared they knew what we are. But and that knowledge that we exist is really important. I remember talking to a French politician once, and she told me that it doesn't matter if people don't know who you are, as long as they've heard of you. And I think this is certainly the case in France today. When I was a much younger pastor in Nancy in the east of France, the specialist of new religious movements for the Catholic Church came to see me. And this was way back in the 1980s. And he had heard of Mormons and he'd heard of Jehovah's Witnesses, but he'd never heard of evangelicals. That would be totally impossible today. Totally impossible. If 74% of the population have heard of them. And by the way, this same survey showed that 79% of the Muslim population had heard of evangelicals, which is interesting. Even more than the French population as such. A lot of hard work has also been done on the local level to be part of the community. I think that's quite a key factor. It's not just nationally, although the fact that the KNEF exists is important. So, for example, very often when there is an outreach campaign of some sort, bringing a whole lot of young people, they spend their time, for example, clearing up the mess along a riverbank or something like that, and doing things which are useful to the community, and in the best sense, giving a good image of what we are, to serve people and to love people. It doesn't stop us also explaining the gospel, but I think it's promoting the gospel in the wider sense. A lot of hard work is done on a local level. As a pastor, I always felt that my job was very much to be in contact with the local religious leaders and the local mayor and so on. So every time there was the inauguration of a school or some kind of celebration, you know, I'd make sure I was present and shake hands with them and go back to the town hall afterwards for the aperitif. You have to make some sacrifices in the industry sometimes. And so it was building that kind of relationship and knowing who you are. And I remember on one occasion there was some disruptive sort of riots in the suburbs of France, and the local mayor asked various leaders to a little contribution, and they printed it on a paper with my name, pastor, and the name of the church, and they distributed this in every letterbox of the town along with other people as well. But I think that was important. This same mayor used to invite us on the 8th of May, which is the celebration of the end of the Second World War, invited me, the priest, the imam, and the rabbi to come and give a little speech in front of the war memorial. And so there is a growing acceptance that we have our place within society. That's the second reason. The third, I think the growing spiritual and structural unity of evangelicals is important. The KNEF, Conseil National des Evangéliques de France, National Council of French Evangelicals, represents, often it says 70%, I think I'll round it to 75%, and in fact it's higher than that because all the main denominations are in it. It's those who aren't in it tend to be ethnic churches or not the major denominations. We're all in it together, which means that we can speak with one voice to the government, we can speak with one voice to the media, and that is very, very useful. I forgot to say just now, I'll just go back a moment, where I said the accusation of being a sect has largely been overcome, partly because we have, I could use a loaded word, marketed ourselves as the evangelical Protestant churches. By having the Protestant part, we are linking ourselves with history, and the evangelical part links us to our theology. And a lot of denominations use that title for their church, and so it gives more of a visible unity than we had before when someone say Assembly of God, Brethren, Baptist, is it the same thing? But if we all say Église Protestante Evangélique, then it helps people to recognize what we are. Sorry, I forgot to say that just now. So because the KNEF is known to the government, by the government, and to the general public, that helps us to have an identity. And the slogan is one for 10,000. That is, we want to have one church in France for every 10,000 people of the population. At the moment, we're about 1 to 30,000. But we have this slogan together, which is an encouragement for all of us to keep evangelizing and church planting. And the fourth reason is research and surveys. I think we've done quite a lot of very interesting research. I've got some of it here just to show you how it is done. For example, how many churches at present, according to the region, per 10,000 of the population. So you can see which areas need more church planting than others. And that's the evolution from 1970 to 2017. Or another way of looking at it is the number of local churches per département, which is a different figure, because if it's a rural département, they don't need so many churches to be one for 10,000 as in an urban one. And we have a map here of all the areas which are where the churches where church is accessible by car in 30 minutes. So you can see which parts still are not accessible in 30 minutes by car, or within 15 minutes. So not quite so encouraging. But by doing that kind of research, then it's clearer where we should be church planting and not reproducing, not planting two churches in the same place at the same time. And there is a certain collaboration or cooperation, I should say, between denominations for that. The second survey was carried out by a company called BVA for the Evangelism Commission of the CNEF that I chair. I'm afraid the next two slides are in French, but it's so that I can give you the figures. It was done in 2015 with 1,106 people, according to all the rules of doing like political surveys and so on, according to the region, profession of the head of family, the type of is it a city or a village, and so on. And so we're asking non-Christians, basically. Well, the question we would have liked to ask is, how would you like to be evangelized? But I don't think we could really ask the question quite in that way. So we found other ways of asking the question. And that was the results, which I'm afraid is small in French. But I'll point out the three ways that most people said they wanted to learn about a religion was to have to go to a talk about it. That surprised us. And we drew the conclusion that one of the things that people want is information. They don't know. They're ignorant. The second thing was, so small, 23% said to talk about it with someone over a coffee or a meal. One person in four said they would talk about it. And in fact, that figure goes even higher for Muslims, it's 49%, and for the 18-24-year-olds, 37%. And the other figure, 35%, was internet. So we need to have good information on internet as well. So that was a survey. It showed, for example, information in your letterbox, people just said 1%. Be talked to by someone on the street, 2%. They didn't want that. So I think we're into relational evangelism. And then we also studied the same thing carried out directly by the Evangelism Commission of the CNEF. We asked pastors of the denominations belonging to the CNEF and the leaders of parachurch organizations, got 341 responses. And there you see that the best form of evangelism today, by far, was building relationships with non-Christians, 87.6%. There was also identifying evangelists, 74%, and practical help for people, social work and so on, 73.6%. The only figure that worries us is that for the top one, a lot of agreement, less fully agree, and we interpreted that to mean, yes, that's the way forward, but we're not seeing it yet. Okay, so those are some facts and figures. Well, thank you.